Thank you very, very much. Well, let's get the gray hair out of the way. Because if I don't, you won't listen to a word I say for an hour. You'll be out there, did you know anything about the gray hair? I'm just as befuddled as you. I don't know what happened either. COVID hit, I went into hibernation and came out a senior citizen. It's just as well. I was never comfortable in the hair color aisle anyway. You always have to pretend like you're there for someone else. You know? Women, huh? I like the difference in hair color names between women and men. Women have hair color names like Ruby Fusion, Chocolate Cherry, Butterscotch. Men's hair color, brown. Black, light brown, dark black. For men, that is the entire color spectrum. I don't know. I'm at the age where I wake up and the first thing I do is try to remember what doctor I'm going to that day. Ah, the dermatologist, because of that splotch on my back. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I have to put medicine on my back using a spatula. It's fun going into the drugstore when they ask, can we help you find anything? And I have to say, yes, a spatula, Lotrimin, and a hand mirror. Are you intrigued, my lady? Got my little Red Riding Hood Walgreens basket. If you could direct me to the proper aisles. My dermatologist said he needed to do a biopsy of a little mole on the tip of my nose. And I was like, wow, that sounds like it's going to hurt. He said, don't worry, we're going to numb it first with a painkiller. I said, how? He said, we're going to puncture a sharp needle into the tip of your nose. So you're not canceling the pain. You're just rescheduling it. So I go to my regular doctor, and he's like, what's going on? I said, you tell me. Just above my right knee, there's a little area about 3 inches up. It's about the size of a fist. That's where it doesn't hurt. And it feels very peculiar. Do you have a pill that can make everything else feel like that? I want an everything else like that pill. My doctor looked at me and said, Brian, you are way too sedentary. So I vowed in that moment to get a dictionary. But I haven't gotten around to it, you know, just been laying around a house. Or is it lying around a house? Doctors specialize, right? Last month, I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Last week, I went to an arch of the foot, small of the back, nape of the neck doctor. I have fallen arches, my small's too big, and I have a trick nape. It's weird. In the human world, there's a doctor for every body part, but in the animal world, a veterinarian takes care of all animals and all their parts? It's going to be the hardest job in the world. Where are the bighorn sheep knee doctors? The wildebeest gastroenterologists? The giraffe throat, throat, and throat doctors? They say the American medical system is the best in the world. I'll be impressed when I am no longer handed a clipboard when I check in from my doctor visit. That is so Stone Age. You know, we live in a world of barcodes and microchips. What's with the clipboard? I'm here for my 10 o'clock appointment. Here's your clipboard. There's 257 pages on there. Here's a pen with a flower on it. Go sit with all those other people and don't even think of coming back to this counter until you've completely filled out your clipboard. I've been a patient here for many years. You should have all this information. Well, our policy is we do it every year. We give you another clipboard, and that way you can experience angst and tension and rage and downright fury all roiling through your torso. And then we take your blood pressure. You can't fix that, and you're gonna fix me? So my doctor told me to get a therapeutic massage for the neck. Massages are weird. You know, I never feel comfortable. You're always looking through that strange donut hole. I'm always thinking weird things like, I wonder if I could squeeze my head through this. But what if I got stuck underneath the table? Then I'd be like an upside down periscope. I better leave well enough alone and stay on this side of the donut hole. Then I think things like, are my eyes supposed to be open? I feel like I'm eavesdropping. I'm watching her feet moving around. Started thinking weird things like, what if one shoe went that way and one shoe went that way? I'd be awfully curious as to what was going on. Awfully curious. So after 10 minutes, I said, I don't know the protocol, but am I supposed to say, you may begin? And she said, I started 10 minutes ago. She said, this is a Reiki massage. I don't actually touch you. My hands are just above you, and it's an energy healing. So when she was done, I said, I don't actually touch my wallet. My hand is just above it. You should be receiving an energy payment that you can use to pay your energy bill. See how they feel about the concept. So I'm learning things about myself. I learned recently I suffer from OCD. Thank you. Suffer is too strong a word. People say they suffer from things when that just means they have them. You know, do I look like I'm suffering? I think the word suffer should be reserved for a guy writhing on the ground in agony. He's suffering. Am I allowed to run up to him? You're preaching to the choir! I have to alphabetize everything. Quit wriggling, I'm trying to count your ribs. I'm a rib counter. The alphabetizing thing is not true. At least in my case. People think I'm weirder than I am, and it's hard for me. They ask questions like, Brian, with your OCD, do you have to alphabetize your books at home? And I'm like, no. I organize my books by when I got them chronologically on the top shelf. I don't have to alphabetize my books. I'm not a kook. And the bottom shelf is for the books I've completed reading, organized chronologically by the completion date. I don't have to alphabetize them. And the middle shelf is for the books I'm in the process of reading. When I start reading a book, I move it from the top shelf to the middle shelf, and I organize those chronologically by the start date. And I know exactly what you're wondering. You're thinking, well, wouldn't reading the title of the book count technically as being in the process of reading that book? Then how would you distinguish between the top shelf and the middle shelf? Well, the way I do it, I make myself read all of page one before I allow a shelf change. I don't count the introduction or the foreword or the book jacket. I do read all of that word for word. But then I make myself read all of page one all the way to the bottom. Unless it ends in the middle of a sentence, I make myself turn the page. I finish the sentence to complete the thought. I turn the page back. I write down what date that book was started. I move that to the middle shelf furthest on the right. I don't have to alphabetize my books. I'm not out of my mind. How come when you want things in order, they call that a disorder? You know, when I first suspected that I might have OCD, I Googled it, and there are different symptoms. And some I have, and some I don't. And the ones I have, some I have more strongly than others. So I decided to make a color-coded graph. I wish I was making this up. I listed the symptoms. I said, I'm going to rate from 0 to 10 how strongly I feel I have each symptom, total it up, and divide it by the number of symptoms. If I'm higher than 5, I'll seek professional help. If I'm under 5, I'll self-diagnose that I am A-OK. Number one, are you the type of person who has to check the stove repeatedly to make sure it's off? And I'm like, 0. That's a Looney Tunes land. Number two, are you the type of person who has to wash your hands over and over again? And I had this nagging feeling that I forgot to answer that first question. So I looked up. Yeah, I did write 0. Okay. Hand washing. 6. I'm like, that ain't even right. I scribbled that out. I got some ink on my hands. I went to go wash my hands. While I'm washing my hands, I'm like, why did they mention stove? So I checked the stove. It was on. I'm like, I'm never going to make that mistake again. And I came back and I chained hand washing to 2. I took the whole test. It averaged 5.0. So I'm like, I still don't know. So I decided to buy a book about it. I go into the bookstore, ask the clerk, can you tell me where the self-help section is? And she said, why don't you try to find that yourself? Well, I finally found the section. It was so disorganized, I spent the next 3 hours rearranging all their books rather than finding out whether or not I have OCD. I'll show you one weird way it manifests itself. Every year when I get the new calendar, I always look ahead. Because I don't like the months where at the bottom they expect days to share squares. My brain can't handle that. Oh no, October's gonna be square sharing month. Why do they do that? Days don't want roommates. You don't want the 31st going up to the 24th. Hey, can I squeeze in there with you? Get the hell out of here. There's empty squares on the top of the next page. You might think that's weird unless one of those days is special to you. If it's your birthday, you don't want to be wedged up in the corner of a triangle. How happy birthday, sort of kind of squished up here. And then right across the diagonal, it says, take trash to dump. I've always been interested in calendars and time. I grew up in the Eastern time zone. I now live in the Pacific time zone. And what's weird, living out there, when anybody from the Eastern time zone leaves a voice message, they always feel they have to compute the time difference. I'm always getting messages, hey, Brian, it's 4 o'clock my time. That's 1 o'clock your time. I know what time it is where I am. I have a friend who does that all the time. He recently left this message. Brian, do me a favor, call me back. I'm going to be out for about 20 minutes my time. That's just call me back. When? What's the formula? When I was a kid, it was weird learning about time zones, learning that there were 24 around the world. I looked at a globe and saw all the lines met at the top, and I thought, what time is it up there? Could you put your hand on the pole and walk around? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. How would you plan anything up there? We're gonna meet at 5 o'clock. Where were you? Just south of here. Well, in addition to the OCD, I also have a little social anxiety, but I force myself to go to parties and stuff, but there are things people do that bug me. I don't like when somebody pronounces a word differently than everybody else to try to sound smart. Just say it like everybody else. I'm at this party. I walk up to this group of strangers. First thing I hear, this guy goes, another thing about Genghis Khan. I'm like, oh, jeez. I already don't like this guy. I go, oh, Genghis Khan? It was actually pronounced Genghis. Oh. I'm guessing you were there at the time. You and the Jeng man palling around town. So I wanted to sound smart. So I was like, oh, Genghis Khan, the Mongolian emperor. Wasn't he the conqueror of China? Well, I felt this little circle tighten on me. I've done just been ostracized. Walk up to this second group. And I don't know what to do when somebody says something I don't agree with. I don't know what I'm supposed to do as a person. I've always grappled with that. I walk up, this woman says, animals are smarter than people. I'm like, oh, jeez. I just got here. I look at the others like, anybody want to take this? Low-hanging fruit. I just took the hit over at that little circle. Somebody could step up to the plate here so I could hang around for a little longer than 2 minutes. But nobody else is even looking up. They're shuffling their shoes and trying to figure out the dynamic. They must work for her. Something's going on. But I couldn't say nothing. But I didn't want to make a big deal out of it either. I don't know these people. So I decided to make a lighthearted joke. So I said, oh, how do animals do on the SAT test? just a little ha-ha-ha. I didn't get the ha-ha-ha. I just felt the temperature drop. And this woman glares at me and says, animals are smarter than people. Like, case closed. Well, I can't take that. But before I could say anything, she said, what about the beavers? Forcing me to say, what about the beavers? There was no other line on my script at that point. Nothing can ever follow what about the beavers except another what about the beavers. What about the beavers? What about the beavers? So she explains to me, she said, the beavers are smarter than people. They know how to all get in the water, and they all know how to gather sticks and bring them to one area, and they know how to put mud on their tails and slap the sticks together, and they can affect the flow of a river. Hoover Dam. Smart, stupid. Human engineering, pile of muddy sticks. So I asked her, if you hired a company to build a dam, and they all got out of their trucks, and they all started getting in river water, and started gathering twigs and nosing them around on the surface of the water, would you be on the riverbank? Look how smart they are! Well, everyone got real quiet. And she doubled down. She said, what about the honeybees? So I looked at my script. What about the honeybees? What about the honeybees? What about them? What about the honeybees? So she said, the honeybees are smarter than people. They know that they only need one of them to go in a figure eight pattern and wiggle its behind, and it can let all the other honeybees know where the flowers are. What if your Uncle Larry had to do that to show you where the fridge was? Nobody could quench their thirst till Uncle Larry showed up with his groundbreaking communication techniques. Well, this little circle popped me out like a champagne cork. Genghis Khan is looking over at me. He's like, you don't know how to make friends, do you? I'm like, I don't think so. Man without a country. Walk up to this third little circle. And I'm trying to learn how to be a better listener. So I just decided to just say nothing. And there was a guy there telling everyone a story about the lottery numbers that he had recently picked. Woo! What a story. I'm going to try to duplicate it for you, but it's going to be challenging because this guy was drilling it. He had everyone gathered round, and he was like, so I got four lottery tickets. The first ticket, I picked a 2, 4, 7, 21, 36. The second ticket, had the 2, 5. I had the 4 on the first ticket, got the 5 on the second ticket. 2, 5, 16, 17. Got those back-to-back on the second ticket. Back-to-back, 16, 17, back-to-back. 28, 31. 31 was the last number on it that I got on a second ticket. This is the story that he's sharing with humans. Third ticket. I picked a two. I'm always on a two. You know me, I always got the two covered. I knew I had the four on the first ticket and a five on a second, so I got the six on the third. 2-6, 17-19. Decided to leapfrog over the 18. Leapfrog action, landed on a 19. 43. 43 was the last number on a third ticket. Four ticket. I picked a two. Doy. I don't even know why I'm born. You're telling me about the two. You know me. If I got a ticket, I got the two. If I'm walking down the street and I'm holding a lottery ticket, I'm not going to look at it. You know I got that two nailed down. Anyway, I knew I had the four, five, and six on the other ticket, so I got them all on that fourth ticket. Two, four, five, six. And something said, get the three. Something said, go back and get that three. Something said, jump on that three. Something said, nail down that three. So I get the three. Two, three, four, five, six, 17, and the 44. And my thinking on the 44 was, hey, get the 44. So as you can imagine, everyone's jaws were agape. So I wanted to throw the right log on the fire to keep this baby burning. When you got this kind of flame blazing, you can't risk having it smolder out. I wanted to throw the proper heat in that direction. So I was like, woo! Woo-hoo! Crazy! Well, what happened? None of the tickets hit. Whoa! What a twist at the end. What a curveball finish. I could have sworn that was all going somewhere. Could have sworn it. But you flipped the tables. You managed to follow nothing with less. Losing lottery numbers he shares as cocktail party banter. So I didn't fit in with any of the groups, so I just went over and rearranged some bookshelves. If I do go to a party, I need to stand, man. I need to be able to pinball away from situations. Bing, that's not working. Bing, not for me. Bing, nope. Sitting is way too claustrophobic. Like a dinner party, you don't know who you're going to be sitting next to. It could be 2 hours. It's a crapshoot. Brian, you're going to be sitting here next to Donnie Doldrums. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you? You missed the beginning of this. I was telling everybody about how our Des Moines office had an administrative meeting. And as a result of that meeting, we realized that the factory output in our northeast quadrant was substandard in relation to what we had anticipated after bringing in a consulting team from Peoria.
My face is in the mashed potatoes and just blowing brown gravy bubbles. No, don't revive me. Don't revive me. It's in my living will. Let me be. I don't like dinner parties. I don't like restaurants either. One reason is I don't like mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms. And people say, well, what's the big deal? Just make sure you never order mushrooms. All right, let me explain the problem. There is not a food on earth that is more often put onto and into other foods without anybody ever asking than mushrooms. It's happened too many times to count.
Here is that chicken dinner you ordered. And you'll be happy to notice that it is smothered with mushrooms.
Oh, I did notice. I didn't order mushrooms. It doesn't say mushrooms on the menu.
You don't have to worry about that. You had nothing to do with this. We decided all by ourselves when we were in the kitchen with no input from you. We unilaterally decided to smother everything you love in life with mushrooms.
I don't know if I made this clear. I don't like mushrooms. I don't like raisins either. Not to the degree of mushrooms. I just don't like raisins. But I'm intrigued when people try to talk me into liking raisins. Like it's a psychological flaw. People love to go, Brian. Do you like grapes? Here we go. Yeah, I like grapes. Wow.
Them all along. I had no idea.
So I love to hit them back with,
do you like ham sandwiches? You do? Well, would you like if I put one outside for 3 weeks? In the broiling sun, on a picnic table, so it shriveled up to the point of unrecognizability, and put it on a plate, and gave it to you. Would you like that?
It's not a grape now. I do like mayonnaise. I like mayonnaise to the degree that it had to come into a New Year's resolution. It was a New Year's resolution that I could not order extra mayonnaise on my sandwiches. I could order mayonnaise, but I couldn't use the word extra. And I found out very quickly, I wasn't getting enough mayonnaise. But I didn't want to break my resolution, so here's how I would order lunch. Hi, I would like a turkey sandwich with Swiss cheese, lettuce, and mayonnaise. You hear what I'm saying here? I want mayonnaise. Capital M-A-Y. And the rest of the letters that are necessary for mayonnaise. Hey, I saw something interesting today on social media. Somebody posted a very strong political opinion. And somebody replied, good point, I changed my mind. No, I'm sorry. I saw a unicorn. I saw a purple, glittery, flying unicorn. Here's something I've learned about social media. The expression, just saying, ain't never preceded by a compliment. When I tweet, I never want to try to sound too young, but I also don't want to sound too old. And I saw Metallica in concert. They're great. And I wanted to tweet that they were great, but I didn't want to come off like an old fuddy-duddy. But I also didn't want to try to sound like a young whippersnapper. So I settled on, boy, these fellas sure and had a boogie. I think I hit the sweet spot. All my followers thought I was the cat's pajamas. Pajamas is a funny word. I like words. What is the smallest? Tiny, teeny, itty bitty, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, or teensy weensy? Kind of stuff keeps me up late at night. Scientists need to know when they're looking in microscopes. I would describe this amoeba as itty bitty. Professor, come over here. See if you concur. See if you concur that this amoeba is itty-bitty. Let me take a look at that. That's not itty-bitty. That's teensy-weensy. How come only small stuff gets cute nicknames? How come we don't say the planet Jupiter is biggy-wiggy? The universe is hugey-magrugey. I love space stuff. I saw a scientist on TV say they know if they build a space probe to explore distant galaxies and shoot it out, that 100 years from now, we'll be able to build a better, faster space probe that will catch and pass that first one before it ever gets anywhere. So the message is clear. Everything we do today is a waste of time. We do send rovers up to Mars. They're analyzing rocks. And some scientists think some of the rocks are from volcanoes. Okay. If they expect me to believe that volcanoes blew rocks all the way to Mars, even Vesuvius in its heyday didn't have that kind of oomph. We're looking for water on Mars. We're wheeling all around trying to find water. Have we given up here? I want to bring the scientists over to my kitchen sink. Look what I discovered. When I pull this up, water shoots out of the end of this thing. How's it going on Mars? Because this appears to be endless. Get some science jugs and fill those babies up because I have hit the moisture mother load. They're looking for water to see if there's life on Mars. And I've always wondered, what if there is life on Mars, but it's teensy weensy? And we're just crushing it with our rovers. The camera on the front, everything appears to be dry and desolate. Under the wheels, we're just mushing Martians into mulch. What's that green streak? I was 11 years old when we landed on the moon. Our whole family was gathered around a TV. My parents raised some good kids. I didn't pursue a life of crime. One reason, I remember that expression when I was a kid, crime does not pay. Crime does not pay? That's why we shouldn't do it? Do you do crime? Oh, well, I love crime. I love almost everything about crime. Crime is fantastic. You don't have to sell me on that side of the equation. The reason that I don't do crime, and I've crunched the numbers, it doesn't pay. Sure, if it paid, I'd be doing crime left and right. But crime doesn't pay. So that's why I don't do crime. Another crime motto, even more twisted. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Damn. I'm intrigued that the motto isn't don't do the crime because that would be wrong. They have to make it a choice between two selfish options. Oh, that crime? I want to do it. That's a great crime. I want to do that crime. The problem, though, with that particular crime, it's 15 years in the federal penitentiary. I don't have the time. I wish I could, but I have a family and dreams. I don't have enough time to do that crime. Now this crime, on the other hand, 1 month in the county jail. I'm doing it! I have enough time. I have enough time to do that crime. I base my crime decisions on how much time I have available in my calendar. That's what I've been taught. That's us, teaching us. As much as I'm against crime, there are things we do to criminals that I think are unfair. I think it's unfair that tampering with evidence is an additional crime on top of the actual crime. Talk about piling on. Anything that would be done naturally during the scope of the crime should just be part of the crime. Tampering with evidence. Has any criminal ever taken that into consideration? When fleeing the scene of a crime? All right, let's get out of here. Toby, what are you doing? I'm wiping up the fingerprints and getting rid of everything. Are you crazy? That's a crime. You're gonna get us in trouble. You're not allowed to tamper with evidence after you commit a crime. You're not allowed. Has any criminal ever not tampered with evidence and gotten anything out of that? You've been found guilty of the crime in question. Your penalty, life in prison without the possibility of parole. But we do want to note you were nice enough not to tamper with the evidence. In fact, the lead investigator said it was the most pristine crime scene he'd ever happened upon in his entire illustrious career. So as a tip of the hat, you get to choose top bunk or bottom. I saw a thing on the news. They said a judge dismissed a case without prejudice. Whoa. Shouldn't that always be the case? How else would you do that? Case dismissed. And it's because you're white like me. Now get out of here, you knucklehead. If the defendant does not take the stand in his defense, the judge has to instruct the jury. Something to this effect. You might notice in this trial, the defendant chose not to take the stand in his defense. You are not allowed to weigh that one way or the other while considering the rest of the evidence. And I understand the need for the instructions. I think they should just tweak them a tad I think the judge should say, you might notice in this trial, the defendant chose not to take the stand in his defense. We just want you to know that means...
You can start validating parking.
I can't even imagine not taking the stand in my defense if I was innocent of something. You imagine your lawyer asking you, do you want to go tell him you didn't do it?
I'm awfully bashful.
Yeah, I know, but they're thinking of throwing you in the electric chair, so maybe if you could muscle through your discomfort.
I'll take my chances.
Fire up the chair, Your Honor. What do you want from me? I heard some states carry out capital punishment at 7 o'clock in the morning. Talk about cruel. Is that guy supposed to get some sleep the night before? Yeah, I think I'm going to hit the rack. Get some shut-eye. Yeah, got a short day tomorrow. I'll tell you what should be a crime. People boarding planes while wearing backpacks. If you're someone who does that, a little heads up, your backpacks are hitting people in the face. I only care about what's in front of me. Hell with everything in my wake. You know when you sit in the emergency exit row seat and you agree to save everyone? How come when the flight is over, no one thanks you? It's amazing what you might have done. You'd think someone would take note of that. Hey, I heard what went down before takeoff. Thank you. The fact that you were willing to put your life on the line to save me, my family, and all the other souls on this plane is nothing short of outstanding. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No, just a backpack to the back of the head. I was an almost responder! I like to be thanked. That's why I know I would never be good at that animal rescue stuff. I wouldn't be good at it. You ever see news footage of some wild horse stuck in a ravine? They got to bring trucks in and chains and harnesses and figure out how to get down into the ravine and get the harness around his horse while it's going berserk and pull this thing out while it's kicking and going nuts and get close enough to get the harness off without getting hurt. And as soon as they do, it just hauls into the woods. Hey! I would want the horse to stop somewhere before the tree line. Clippity, cloppity, clip. Thanks. Then do that up on the hind leg thing. Then haul into the woods. Am I asking for too much? All I'm saying is if I scrub oil off a duck with a toothbrush, I'm gonna want a little quack you. Turn your little duck head and go, thanks. That's all I needed from you. Wouldn't have been able to do this without you. Yeah, I know. People are smarter than animals. Well, with all due respect, I wouldn't have oil on me if it weren't for people. Just saying. Somebody shut this stupid talking duck up. Stupid talking duck. This is a beautiful venue. Look at this. Amazing. I get to play some pretty cool places. Some places I play have an orchestra pit. Those words don't belong together. Orchestra pit. The people who work there look tremendous. They come in gowns and tuxedos. Man, you guys look amazing. Oh, you're in the orchestra. Get in the pit. Get in the pit. Get down in the pit. Get in the pit. Why do they have to dress so nice? You can't even see them. At the end of the show, they stand up and bow. At best, you see their eyebrows. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm wearing $90 socks for some reason. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what kills me when you go to a show that has an orchestra? How come as you're walking in, they're practicing? I never understood that. You're walking in, you're hearing womp, 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 womp. Hey, doors are open. Paid a lot of money for these tickets. Could you all practice before we get here? I bet we're going to be hearing that again later. Bet something's going to fly in this show. What is that? You don't want to see the actor practicing as you're walking in. To be or not to... No, too big, too big. Bring it down. To be... Nope, too subtle. Split the difference. To be... Oh, they're coming in. Which makes you wonder, is that how the actor runs or the character? I don't understand marching bands. I understand bands. I don't understand marching bands. There are many occupations in this world, and how come none of the others have taken on this added task? You don't see marching taxidermists. You gotta stuff that otter. You gotta stuff it good. Stuff that otter and stick it on some wood. Why don't you sit down over there and stuff the otter? It might be easier if you were seated. Yes, it's ridiculous. So why is it normal for bands? What group of musicians were sitting around? Don't ask me what instrument that's supposed to be. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we kick these chairs out from underneath us and start walking around and trying to spell stuff with our bodies? So people in blimps know what teams we support. I'm sure the tuba player loved that idea. Oh, great. Great idea, flute person. The marching band had to be a flute person's idea. Come on, let's march. Come on. Wait, we need straps and stuff. Come on. It's easy. We need harnesses! We're not ready! We're not ready! Hey, whoever invented the bagpipes, I don't think he's finished yet. You ever look at that monstrosity? He must have thought there was a deadline at the patent office. He probably just ran in and threw that on a counter. Ah! Am I too late? What in the world is that? It's a bag! Pipes! Stuck in it! I stuck the pipes in a bag. Bagpipes. No, I see it. Why? What does it do? What does it do? It's a bag with a pipe! Sticking it in and out of it! What does it do? What does it do? What does it do? What? What does it do? How can you tell if anybody's ever playing them well? You have a guy over here. He's the best. This guy's over here. He doesn't know how to play that thing. Stick your elbow more in the bag. Everybody knows that. Hey, you guys are wonderful.